Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you for giving us the light of your holy word, the guiding star that leads us to the Christ child. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts today, that we may receive this true light from heaven and make use of it to trust in Jesus for our salvation. Help us to be like the wise men, to trust your word and the promise of forgiveness and peace, which Jesus came to give to all people. Bless our worship of your Son, who came in poverty to make us rich in salvation. Help us to honor him with our hearts, our lips, our offerings, and our whole lives. Keep us in this faith and lead us by your word until we see the glory of Jesus in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this Epiphany Sunday is written in the second chapter of Matthew, beginning at the first verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to them, "In Jerusalem, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not the least, and you are not the least of the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent him to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people who follow the star to God, today is January 6th, a day when the Orthodox Christians celebrate the birth of Christ and the arrival of the Magi. Half of the world, Christian world celebrates Christmas today. Now, while these two events actually happen months or years apart, they both are epiphanies. For at Jesus' birth, the angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest," speaking of Jesus as well. And with the coming of the Magi, God shows forth to all people, even the Gentiles, that the gift of his Son. The season of Epiphany is designed that we see Jesus as true God and our Savior. Jesus' nature is essential to the Christian faith, and it is important for us to understand who Jesus is so that we can believe in him as our Savior. We confess this in our creeds, and we sing it when we sing, "O come, Emmanuel," which means God is with us. In God's word, St. Matthew introduces us to the Magi. They followed a special star to be able to worship their king. Today we need to follow the Magi and listen to the question, "Where is our king?" And our text answers us with a question that brings fear to people. God's answer that gives us rejoicing as believers, and a reality that moves us to worship our king. Because God's ways are not our ways, he does things totally different from the way we would think they should be done. God's gift did not come to earth in a beautifully wrapped package, nor was he born in a palace as a king should be, nor was his birth pasted all over Twitter and Facebook. The people of Judea and Jerusalem were mostly unaware that this birth had taken place, and even if they heard it, they didn't care about it. Just a few believers, such as the shepherds, Joseph and Mary, some people in Bethlehem, Simeon and Anna in Jerusalem, just they knew that the Messiah had been born and that God had brought him into the world. If others heard the news, it meant little to them. As the world sat in darkness without much hope, God sent the wise men to Jerusalem to inquire, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." For most citizens of Jerusalem, God announced the Messiah's birth through these alien Gentiles. Again, the way God does things is not the way we would have done. But their question did not bring joy and peace to the people of Jerusalem. Matthew says that Herod was troubled. King Herod had spent all his life building up his kingdom. People called him great because of his wonderful buildings that he, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout the Roman world. But when Herod thought that somebody was going to try to take his kingdom away from him, Herod was not so great. He already had had two sons and their mother put to death because he thought that they were trying to plot against his throne. And so it would be nothing for Herod to order the deaths of little children in Bethlehem in order to preserve his kingdom. That was why all Jerusalem was troubled when they heard the news about from the question of the Magi, because they didn't know what Herod would do at this news. So the question that should have brought great joy and rejoicing brought fear and trepidation. The Jews had been waiting for the Messiah to be born for centuries, and yet now they were filled with fear. To Herod, the question of the Magi represented a challenge to his rule. He could only suppose that this Messiah, this king, would be an earthly king. And the Jewish people also expected that the descendant of David, that God had promised, would also raise up a kingdom here on earth like that of David. And so many people later on, when they saw that Jesus was not going to be that king that they were expecting, they rejected him as well. Though Herod was afraid of this news, he knew exactly what to do about it. So he called the chief priests to himself and inquired from them where this Messiah would be born. Now, the chief priests knew the answer. They didn't have to look it up. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea," and they quoted the prophet Micah, "Out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." Now, neither Herod nor the chief priests thought for a moment that that prophecy was fulfilled. They simply were trying to protect their own interests and their own authority, whoever this king might be. For, you see, if those rulers, Herod and the leaders of the Sanhedrin, if they truly had understood and believed that the Messiah had been born, they would have asked to go with the Magi to Bethlehem, and they would have been there before him. But they did not believe. They did not realize what great honor God had given to them to be able to be alive in the days of Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus was born into a world of darkness, that is, sin and unbelief. Even though today the gospel has been proclaimed in all the world, most of the people in the world still refuse to believe that Jesus is their Savior. Jesus is the King that was born. They fear calamities and worldly wars, but they aren't afraid of what they should be afraid, that is, what's going to happen to them on Judgment Day? And that's the question that we need to present and ask ourselves. What's going to happen on Judgment Day? How are we going to stand before God? What is going to happen to us? Who is going to be our defender? How can we be saved from the just judgment of God? And the answer is the one that causes us to rejoice today at the Gentile Christmas. Now, the wise men were not aware of Herod's wicked plotting, but they were grateful for the answers that God had given to them through these people. And so with joy, they went on the journey from Jerusalem, 5 miles south to Bethlehem, just a small village nearby. The village was the birthplace of King David. God had promised to raise up to king a descendant who would be in David's kingdom and on David's throne forever. Matthew says that when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. You see, the wise men had been traveling for months to reach Jerusalem. And when they came to Jerusalem, you can imagine their disappointment when nobody cared. Nobody knew what was going on. And so when they started on their journey and saw the star, they realized that the star was real. They realized that their journey was almost over. They realized that the king was there, that they had come for the right purpose. And so they rejoiced that God had shown them where this son is, where this king is, that they could worship him. On this Epiphany Sunday, you and I also have many reasons to rejoice, just as the wise men did. We have celebrated Christmas, and we have listened to the song of the angels, which said, "There is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." What do the words "to you" mean? Is it just to the shepherds and just to the children of Israel? Our text shows us that those words "to you" include you and I, the Gentiles. God teaches us through the coming of the wise men that Jesus was born for all people. God led the wise men to the star to see Jesus. 800 years before Jesus' birth, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah those comforting words to us. "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel, Jacob. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." The star pointed to the place where God's salvation for the whole world was. Jesus himself said, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." When we come to the star, you and I also need to see the answer to our problem, the problem of sin, the problem of God's judgment. Here was God's answer that causes us to rejoice. You see, the word "saved" means to be rescued, to be delivered from an impossible situation. Jesus came to do that. We have sinned. God must punish sin with eternal death. There is no escape from that death that we can have, that we can devise for ourselves. But God has provided an escape in Jesus. He was born of the Virgin Mary, but he also is Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. God sent Jesus to fulfill the whole law so that he would keep the law perfectly in every way. Only God could do that. And God laid on Jesus the iniquity of all people so that when Jesus died, he paid for the punishment of all people, those from Adam to those who live at the end of the world. Only God could accomplish that. And it is the important part of Epiphany that we understand this miracle, which seems impossible to the human race, that God could become man, that he could live on this earth for a time, and that he could accomplish our salvation. But dear friends, that's our Christmas gift. That's what leads us to rejoice in him, because he is our Savior. Jesus is God's answer to sin and our punishment. All those who believe in Jesus are not condemned, but are forgiven of their sins. They are made children of God. They are dressed with Jesus' robe of righteousness that he won on the cross. And God looks at them as saints, as his children, adopted into his family, all because of what Jesus has done for us. Here is the reality of God's love. And this reality causes us to worship him as our King, our God, and our Savior. When the wise men saw Jesus in that house in Bethlehem, they fell down and worshiped him. Their earthly eyes only saw a young mother with a child. But their heavenly eyes of faith saw something different. They saw the young boy as a king, as God, and so they worshiped him as God. What a blessing they had been granted by God himself, to be able to see the star, to be able to safely journey to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, to see and worship God himself, and to offer him gifts. What a privilege it was to see the Savior of the world. They stood in the reality of God's love, and they worshiped God for it. Their response is to worship Jesus. That is, Matthew says, they fell down and worshiped him. This means they bowed their faces to the ground, not in just homage to a king, but in worship to God. Now, their worship would have been a sin if Jesus was not God. Dear friends, Jesus is God, and that's the lesson that we need to know today. The star led the wise men to God, living here on earth, as befitting a king whom they sought. Matthew tells us they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those were gifts worthy of a king whom they wished to honor and worship. These gifts had already been prophesied by Isaiah 800 years before, as we heard in our lesson this morning. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of our God. Our celebrations of Christmas and Epiphany should move us to worship and glorify God also. St. Paul wrote, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." The Son of God is rich in majesty and heavenly glory, and yet he set aside those riches, did not use his divine powers and attributes to be able to live here with us in poverty and to be one of us in order that he could make us rich in forgiveness, righteousness, and salvation. And we receive God's rich grace in the sacrament of baptism, which we daily drown the old Adam and arise to a newness of life in the forgiveness of sins. And we receive the Lord's Supper, Christ's very body and blood, for the forgiveness of sins and to strengthen us in our Christian life. While receiving God's rich graces, how then can we respond to him in worship? Just as the Magi did, we respond in love by our confession of faith, by our telling others about Jesus, by our hymns of praise to Christ, by our holy lives dedicated to serving Jesus. We also bring our gifts of gold and incense through our prayers and offerings to the King. What a privilege it is for us to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our gifts of worship glorify God. Praise him for his grace and mercy, and for opening our eyes to see the star as the sign of the Son of God being born for us. Where is our King? Where the star led us, to see in Bethlehem that he was born for us. How do we honor our King? We worship Him and glorify His name and use His possessions to give in order that other people may hear that message as the truth and bless God for His salvation. And God uses people like us to proclaim the message of salvation to others, that they may glorify God with us and rejoice that God has shown mercy to His people and brought redemption to us. Let us worship God for our salvation. Let us glorify His name and rejoice in Him on this Epiphany Sunday, for He has come, and one day we will see Him in glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.